Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
So, hi everyone to a new episode of EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. My name is Thomas Berger. I'm a chair of the Department of Neurology at the Medical University in Vienna, but today I'm here on behalf of my position as chair of the scientific committee of the European Academy of Neurology. And it's a big pleasure, once again, I have to underline, to welcome Professor Wolfgang Griesold, who is the current president of the World Federation of Neurology. And we both had already the pleasure to talk some couple of months ago. But there are so many discussion points and chat points that we decided to have a wrap-up and a second episode together. Wolfgang, very warm welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Thomas. Welcome to all of you. The World Federation is very pleased to participate in this podcast, in these talks. And communication between the two societies is extremely important. And I think the topics that Thomas chose are very important for us neurologists worldwide.
Yeah, definitely. I think we have common activities, joint commitments, and of course, at the end of the day, it always regards neurology, and therefore, these are common strains. So, as I already mentioned, we had a couple of discussion points at our last podcast, but we could not talk about everything we wanted to talk about. So, I thought we could talk today let's say on two topics. The one is the intersectoral global action plan of WHO, because this is, of course, also a very, or was a big effort the World Federation of Neurology and you specifically were engaged in the finalization of the implementation. So, Wolfgang, would you probably... could you talk a little bit about this history, how this IGAP, which is definitely not an easy task to implement on a, let's say, WHO level, and how this historical milestone for neurology was finally implemented last year?
Thank you, Thomas. So I think it has a long history, and actually the history started with the ILAE, the International League Against Epilepsy, who were successful in putting in a story or a procedure in the WHO about people with epilepsy. And out of that, and joint work with the WHO and with the ILE and with World Federation, as the main stakeholders, there were others too, of course, but in the main stakeholders in the beginning, the product that was finally came out is called Intersectoral Global Action Plan for epilepsy and other neurologic disorders. Now, if you know the historic context of epilepsy involved, this is a clear title. If you bring it to people worldwide, there's always some concern, is epilepsy the main topic of the IGAP, or what are the other neurologic disorders? So I think we, as the World Federation, take a lot of effort into explaining and emphasizing that the other neurologic disorders are equally important, and we have this great array of neurologic disorders.
But probably may I jump in at this point? So I think as we understand also the history, and it is a global action plan, it's not an action plan for the more advanced countries with more advanced health systems, it's a global action plan, and therefore I think also makes sense to have epilepsy as a very common and probably also the group of disorders which are in more or less every country, be it a low, middle or high income, to be tackled also hopefully successfully. And as you also mentioned, I think the big effort of WFN was of course also to have this head of other neurological disorders. And I think we all recognize epilepsy as a global important burden and the need of improving the health neurological service across the globe, but it's also a kind of gatekeeper for the other neurological disorders in this IGAP, right?
Yes, I did not at all want to minimize or give any bad impression on epilepsy in the wording, but that's how it is. And if you sell a product and ILE has to be taken up by all the countries of the world, the naming is important. What's in the name? We know that phrase. And Thomas made a very important point in the beginning, and he mentioned the WHO. And the WHO is a huge construct that has a global part, and this plan is from the Brain Health Unit, which is a global part, and it has also a regional department. So there's a European WHO, which will take place, the meeting soon in Astana in Kazakhstan, and the EAN will participate in our team, in our delegation. There is a North American and South American PAHO. So there are various types of WHO subgroups. And what I learned only in the last years was practically each of the member countries, and the WHO has 194 member countries, there's also a regional office in the country. So these offices are not known to us usually, but they are in health ministries or in health institutions. And this could be a good approach for individual countries to bring neurology closer.
Yeah. So apart from the fact, and I mentioned it, and I think we are on the same page, that this is a historical milestone for neurology in the global setting. So apart from the fact, bringing this up on a kind of global screen, what does it really mean now? What does it mean that this global action plan is implemented? Any requirements, any duties, any expectations? So what does it mean in practical issues?
Mm-hmm. The practical issues is that the ICAP has been implemented in 2002 and the duration is 10 years. So one thing is we are already in the second year. This can be good or bad. The second issue is that the ICAP had 5 points. One point is policy. So that means for neurologists, bring neurology to politics. The second point is treatment. So this is our duty to have the best treatment for our patients. The third point is prevention, and that's a very powerful tool on the long run. Just think of stroke and hypertension. The fourth point is research and innovation, and that's good and I think very constructive, because usually one is fixed at data and retrospective analysis, but this is important. And the fifth point, which is very dear to the WHO and which we have to learn more, is public health. So in the paper it says public health for epilepsy, but we think it's for all. If you want to read more about it, I just for the listeners, there's, if you type in on the website WHO and ICAP, you will find a list of activities from the WHO, and you will also find a booklet, a free download booklet that says this, what I'm saying now, in more detail. It's very good. They are very nice slides, and you probably could use them for explaining to people how important ICAP is.
So from an organizational point of view, EAN, of course, is definitely also celebrating this milestone, but not only celebrating, because it also calls for action. And the call for action is, of course, to provide, you know, information, to provide work tools or toolboxes, but also, and I think this is very important, because it regards also the WHO member countries, and therefore also from the view of EAN, also the national neurological societies. So we have to disseminate and sedimentate this ICAP activities, including the strategic goals, to the national societies, because they are the performers at the end of the day for all these activities. As you mentioned, political access or corporations, prevention, etc. So this has to be done also, of course, if we want to have this successfully at the end of the period in 31, we need to have the activities from the national societies. So what are the activities from the WFN?
Well, the activities from the WFN is that we are First of all, we have been involved in the development. Secondly, what is needed now and has been needed from the beginning is a so-called toolkit. This is something that's not easy to develop because, as you say, or as we implicitly say, the toolkit would be different for a low-income country than for a high-income country. And I believe that although all these 5 points are completely valid, it would mean different things for an African country with no neurologists than for a country like Germany or Austria with many neurologists and a healthy, or almost healthy economy. So I think this is one point, and we have been donating or sponsoring one person in the WHO to develop this toolkit, which we hope will come out soon. We use IGAP practically at all our meetings with national societies, with world societies. We have published on that, and we think there's a close connection with IGAP and brain health. Both things happen at the same time, but for me, they are very intertwined and connected because brain health is, let's say, an overarching activity, and the goal to reach it on a more instrumental way would, in my opinion, be the IGAP. I just want to point out one thing. We have made a survey about our members worldwide. What do they know about IGAP? This was in May. We sent it out twice because we couldn't believe the number of answers, and we had only 20% of our members answering. And those, I'd say, were half informed or less informed. I mean, I don't want to go into details, but the good thing is that about half of the people answering were from low-income countries. So that was the good thing about it. But it shows that we still have to do more effort, and also the WHO, to bring this topic into the brains of the countries.
Yeah, I think it's apart from the fact of this implementation of this IGAP, it's also a, I think, historical chance to increase the awareness, not only in the interested public or health system politicians, but also among the neurologists or the physicians and the healthcare providers, and last but not least, also the patients and their caregivers, in a way which we have the feeling, and I think you will share this, that not really everybody is on the same level of awareness. And, you know, if even such trivial, or let's say trivial issues about the a burden of disease or economic burden of neurological disease is not every neurologist really fairly aware of that. So we cannot also expect that politicians or anybody else knows the same level of awareness. So I think it's also a good chance to really increase the activities and also the awareness. You mentioned also the brain health, and I think this is the overarching, as you mentioned already, because everything circles around brain health, of course. Nevertheless, and I think we also, I think we can jointly agree that brain health is not only the diagnostics and therapy of neurological disorders, or it's not only free of neurological disorders, it's also about prevention, and it's about brain health over the lifespan, because this is one of our essential tools in our human being. Otherwise, it will be quite difficult. So what about the brain health activities of the World Federation?
Well, I think we started early. We started about 3 years ago with some slides and videos on brain health, and I think it caught on. Since that, in the last 2 years, we have done all our World Brain Days were devoted to brain health, first of all, globally, secondly, to disability. For next year, we have not decided yet, but I think it will go to the same one. The Congress's topic is also our brain health is our wealth, which is a nice word. So I think this is important. And we also spread this news, and we see that it is, depending on the local organization that goes into brain health, there are different views. The EN has published a very comprehensive review on brain health, and this is also very graphically very nice design. I was attending a meeting of the American Academy last week or 2 weeks ago, who also took up brain health very seriously. And you also hear, I think they are trying to get to it from various points of view, even from MRs of fetal brains, which I was not aware of that you can study the circuitry in fetus, but they did. But what impressed me even more is that, of course, the global burden of disease can be interpreted in many ways. And stroke is still in many ways under cerebrovascular disease, which is dominated, followed by cancer. But there are, except from neurology, there are quite a number of other diseases like musculoskeletal pain disorders where we need can be stronger, which show the importance of neurology. There's also one very important thing that impressed me that was done by a statistician comparing the workforce of nurses in low middle income countries and high income countries. And our fantasy is if we don't have enough doctors, we take nurses because they're cheaper and can do things. This may be correct, but statistically, maybe to the aging pyramid, the number of nurses in high income countries in the percentage is much, much higher than in low income countries where it practically is going to zero. So this is an important, I think an important advice that primary care as envisioned by the WHO is a good thing, but we need a workforce for that too.
Yeah, definitely. And I think all these activities, be it the brain health mission on the one hand, be it the IGAP on the other hand, which are complementary to each other, and luckily enough, also released at the same time, which is good, of course, definitely have much more than just focusing on a neurological disorder. It also calls for the workforces, the interprofessional corporations, and also, let's say, to identify the gaps which need to be bridged. So I also want that, because we are already coming to an end, so we need to plan a third one, a third chat or a podcast among us too, Wolfgang. But I also want to highlight that, of course, EAN is doing a lot of work in the brain health, formerly strategy, now called mission. So there will be a next EAN Brain Health Summit in November 16 in Brussels. I think it was quite successful in the past because a lot of people were attending. And the most important thing is to disseminate also this idea and this mission together with all the partners in the meanwhile circling around this topic. And I think one of the merging idea between IGAP and the brain health mission is at the end the individualization, because the IGAP has a strong focus, as I understood, centralized the patient and the life cycle of the patient in this pathway of prevention, and if somebody is unlucky enough to have a neurological diagnosis, also of early and effective treatment. And the same is for the brain health, because it individualizes our capital, our currency, our wealth, as you said, brain health, brain wealth. And this is, I think, the common denominator with regards the individual. And I think this is something highly important in both activities so far.
But I just may add, in regard to brain health, is disability. And this year's World Brain Day has shown, to me at least, that the definition of disability for many neurologic diseases is quite open. And I think it will be one of the tasks of the subspecialties and the societies to get closer to the truth. What remains, what is the prevalence, and how can you compare disability? I think that's also very important that came out of this discussion for me.
I think and the consequence of the disability is also the stigma. And one, I think, very important point is also with this awareness, be it in the interested public, be it in the health politicians, is also to decrease or at least eradicate stigma. And this is something which we, for various reasons, in various levels of low to high income countries, are permanently confronted as physicians, as neurologists, with the reportings of our patients, and sometimes also the exclusion from workforce from work capacity running into premature retirement unnecessarily, we have to say, in many conditions. So I think disability and also stigma avoidance, I think this is something which is a offspring, but a highly important offspring of those two activities. Now, we had a good 20 minutes of chat again, Wolfgang. It was always a pleasure with you, and hopefully also our auditorium recognized that there are many joint efforts, which, as we introduced today, makes a lot of sense, and not creating parallel worlds, because there's only one neurology world, be it continental or be it global. So thank you very much once again for your participation and for the very nice chat we had. I hope the auditorium did also enjoy. And again, I would like to highlight what Professor Griesold said. If you are interested in the ICAP, please look at the website, download the booklet, and get familiar with that, because every single neurologist can contribute. It's not only we on the organizational level. Every single neurologist has the capacity and also probably a little bit the idea to contribute to this implementation. Wolfgang, thank you very much.
Thank you, Thomas. I enjoyed the talk. I'm sorry that it ends, because we could continue with that. And it's very important, because these so-called informal talks, very important to bring us forward, to remind us of our duties, and also to discover joint activities or start on new activities. Thank you very much, Thomas, for this nice discussion.
We don't have to do anything else than continuing, right?
Yes.
Yes, perfect.
Thank you.
So thank you very much, and hope to see you next week again on ENCast Weekly Neurology. Thank you very much.
This has been EANcast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. ENCast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.